This episode is brought to you by the Slash and Cast Podcast Network. Learn more at slashandcast.net.
Whiskey Zulu Bravo, this is Sonic Control. It was a girl who died still alive, so absolutely unavailable. We'll pass you to a submarine controlling officer this time, over.
We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the sponsor of this episode, Raise Energy. Raise offers a zero-sugar, no-crash guaranteed product with many different flavors. They're not promising magic in a can or a miracle potion, and they're retailing for under $30 per case, while the big-name brands are charging upwards of $35 or even more per case. If you're interested in trying out their product and giving us a little bit of that kickback from your purchase, use the link in the episode description and use our code, capital letters here, WCFBTS, for a 15% off discount at your checkout. Once again, that is WCFBTS for a 15% off at checkout. Thank you, Raise Energy, for sponsoring this episode, the continued support of our show, and I hope you listeners indulge yourself and get yourself a nice, clean energy drink. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode. We came from beneath the sea, as always. I'm your host, Bailey.
And I'm Brandon.
We are without Zach today. He a sleepy boy. He tired. So we fly in as a duo today, but you know, it's okay, you know, it's all good. But we're back with another episode. It's a hot ass day. It's a Saturday. Yep. And as always, we got some news. We got quite a bit this week. It was a big week for news. As we all know, E3 was this week. As well as some other big announcements in the horror world. So up first, we got a pretty big piece of news, because for Last of Us 2 fans, we don't really get collectibles. We don't get much.
And I don't know nothing about that.
well, Naughty Dog and Dark Horse Direct unveiled the statue of Abby, who is both a protagonist and the antagonist in Last of Us Part 2. Yeah, where it's a pretty nice statue.
She's detailed. The muscular one, right?
Yeah, she's the muscular one that people were all bitching about.
Yeah, I bet you people are bitching about it.
I still don't fucking understand why you want to bitch about it, but I mean, yep. Shut the fuck up.
They're just mad because they're not as swole as she is.
That's right. She'll kick your ass.
Yep.
Up next, Maniac Cop 2 and 3. We're getting Blu-K Ultra HDs.
Yeah, I believe the first one's already got one.
I believe so. Yeah. But yeah, 2 and 3 are now hitting.
Yeah, I saw Slash and Cast. They like retweeted it, and they're like, so Maniac Cop can get 4K releases, but Friday the 13th can't?
Well, there is one coming. I'll just say that. Friday the 13th, 1980, is getting a 4K scan release this year. Maniac Cop 2 and 3 just happened to be releasing before that. So. Yeah. There is also a piece of lawsuit news. I am not versed enough. I did read the post yesterday from Larry Zerner at ZernerLaw on Twitter, if you would like to follow him. But Slash and Cast, Riley over at Slash Cast, did in fact do a video yesterday breaking down this new piece of news, so I highly recommend you go check that out. Very informative. Up next... I don't know how to feel about this one. I was getting the news gathered up today, and I saw that a Blackula reboot is in order.
I mean, they could probably do it.
I haven't seen
the Blackula movies.
If they do it as satire comedy instead of, like, playing it straight, because, like, I don't know how to feel about blaxploitation movies. Like, they're really very much played for... I know enough about them that, like, they're played for laughs and, like...
Well, they're supposed to be, like, going against, like, racial stereotypes,
well, after
right?
a while, yeah, but, like, original blaxploitation, it's exploitation of the black people. Yeah. Like, it's...
Yeah,
I'm not well-versed enough in that. There is a documentary. I have seen it. It's called Horror Noir. It's on Shudder.
Yep.
It's all about blaxploitation movies and black representation and horror movie cinema and all that stuff. It's really good. It's a really, really good documentary. Yep. I just don't feel like I can weigh in on that enough.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah, I mean, I'll see it.
I need to see, because I believe there's two Blackula movies.
I mean, I know the Blackula movies are really, really popular.
Yeah.
But, like...
They're kind of cult classics and whatnot.
I just don't... I can't weigh in on that. But yeah. I just hope they play it... play it for, like, satire.
Right.
And not for, like, this is, like, serious horror.
Right, yeah.
Which, I mean, there's...
Because the movie's... the movie's called Blackula, you know?
Like... That's a little funny in of itself, but, yeah. You know.
I believe the originals were funny movies, too.
Yeah, I think they were comedies.
Yeah, so...
In a vein, you know.
We'll just see.
No pun intended vein. But up next, we're taking a page from our favorite ladies over at the Scream Queens. There was a pretty big piece of Halloween Horror Nights news unveiled this week. And that is Jack the Clown, the icon from Halloween Horror Nights history, has come back.
Wow.
He's actually... So I like the story of Halloween Horror Nights. You know, they have, like, storylines for their haunted houses and stuff for their, like, original ideas.
Yeah.
And Jack's actually pretty interesting. There's a whole history of episode that the Scream Queens did, I want to say, like, 6 months ago, maybe? I don't remember how exactly long ago it was, but it is there. It's really, really good. I'll link it in the episode description.
Like about Jack's story?
Yeah, about Jack specifically.
I was about to say, they put out like an episode about Halloween Horror Nights like every week.
No, yeah. Well, yeah, that's like their whole show.
That's
you know?
What they're themed around pretty much.
But yeah, they did a whole... They're doing a series about Halloween Horror Nights icons and their history and stuff.
Yeah.
And Jack was their first one, I believe.
I know I need to get myself familiar with it if we ever do go down there. And
I mean, and like the icons don't come back. They don't bring one back every year from what I believe or what I know about.
Yeah.
But like they do introduce ones and they sometimes, like anniversary years for sure, because this is supposed to be, it's not an anniversary year. Last year, I believe, was supposed to be an anniversary year.
Yeah.
But since COVID shut everything down, I think they're just doing
they're doing it this year to make up for last year.
And, like, anniversary years, from what I've heard of Halloween Horror Nights, are, like, the biggest and best years they do, so.
Probably.
Yeah. I did like seeing Twitter when all that Halloween Horror Night shit was going down, because, like, I guess they did a live stream, and it was nothing but TV static, and people, like, ate that shit up. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever makes you happy, I guess. I mean.
Yep.
I am happy for our friends who do like Halloween Horror Nights. Right. I mean, that's a big part of their lives.
I'm not like too familiar about it. I can't really say whether or not I'm excited or not for it.
Right.
Because I'm not familiar with it. I haven't really, even though like the Scream Queens talk about it a lot, I haven't really looked into it too much.
Yeah.
Like at first, like I thought that it was like this thing at like Universal Studios or something.
It is.
Yeah. Okay.
Halloween Horror Nights, they take over sections
of
the
park. Theme park or something.
No, well, Universal is a theme park. They take over sections of Universal Hollywood and Orlando and make it horror themed.
Gotcha.
Like, and they take their IPs and they make houses. They take original ideas and make houses, and they have scare zones and stuff. I've never been. I want to go really bad.
Yeah. I just heard it's, like, really expensive. And
it's stupid expensive.
I don't know.
Like, especially for us who live in, like, the Midwest, like...
Yeah, because we got to travel. We have to pay to travel.
Yeah. And
get
you
a
have
hotel
to pay,
room.
And I guess you have to pay for either a single night or you pay for, like, multiple nights from what I'm hearing. And, like, I know the ladies over at the Scream Queens, they like doing these, like, tours where you see all, like, the behind-the-scenes stuff and all that. Yeah. Which is, like, extra money on top of that.
Yeah.
I want to do it at least once in my life. I might go next year. I told Jess that I'd try my hardest to be down there next year.
Yeah, it's just from like the prices you explain, like Jesus Christ.
Well, they just released like the single night. It's like 79 and some change for a single night.
Oh, I thought you said like 1,000.
No. That's for like the behind the scenes tour.
Oh yeah, fuck.
It's like
that.
An extra 1,000, I
sorry,
think.
But
for
fuck that.
It's like for a group, I think. They do like group rates, and it's like 1,000 for a group, I believe.
Wow. Well, I mean,
that's not bad.
Everybody pitches
in. Because
you
get to split the price.
Yeah.
But like,
not too bad.
You know, I would. I don't think I'd do all that.
Right.
But I would get a fast pass.
Yeah.
If they do fast passes. But yeah, that's a big. Up next, The Ancient Gods, which is obviously, well, part one is hitting the Nintendo Switch.
This is for Doom Eternal.
Yeah, for Doom Eternal. Yeah. I kind of forgot Doom Eternal was even on the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah, usually like the Switch gets like the bigger console games like months after.
Yeah.
But I do believe, well, actually, yeah, they did get it a good bit after, because like they came out with like the whole Switch collection thing like towards the beginning of this year.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, they had all kinds of shit. They had like comics or something for it.
Oh, I have no idea.
Came along with like
I
the
have,
game.
I have no idea. I am looking at getting Breath of the Wild here soon, though, because they did announce a sequel to that this week.
It's coming out next year.
Yep. And I've played a little bit of Breath of the Wild on, like, friends' Switches when it came out.
I've bought it. I haven't touched it yet.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, cause
seven
it's like,
at a time?
Yeah, that, and it's like a big open-world game, and you kind of have to dedicate
time to it.
Some time to it. I mean, there is ways that you could beat it relatively fast, because I've seen people do it. But with a game like that, I'd like to take my time with it.
Yeah, I want it really bad. I might buy it for myself for my birthday or something. There's a few Switch games I've been eyeing. So.
Yeah, I also need to get around to playing Mario Odyssey.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to get that one.
Because that's one I've been wanting to play for years, and now that I have it, I just haven't touched it
yet.
Oh,
you have that too?
Yeah, as soon as I got my Switch, which was last year, I bought Animal Crossing. It came with it.
Yeah.
And then I got Pokemon Shield.
Yeah, my mom has Sword.
I bought Shield, Pokemon Shield, Breath of the Wild, and Odyssey through the eStore.
Mm.
So they're digital games.
It is Breath of the Wild is on sale, both that and the expanded edition that comes with like the DLC or whatever.
When I bought it, it was full price.
Yeah, I happened to look at the eShop last night. Like I touched my Switch for the first time in a month yesterday.
Yeah,
I'm just trying to beat Ultimate Alliance 3 so I could play a different game.
Yeah, like they need to. I don't know. Like a couple years ago, like their exclusives were just coming out the ass.
Yeah,
I feel like it's about to pick up again because they announced
a new
Metroid game.
And rumor has it they're releasing a new version of the Switch that plays like 4K and shit.
Yeah. Like, they put out, like, they announced, like, a new Metroid game, which people have been wanting for years.
Yeah, it's a back to basics. Like, it's a platformer again. It's not this whole 3D fucking shit.
Yeah, and then they've got Pokemon Diamond and Pearl remakes coming later this year, which I'm excited for. And then Breath of the Wild 2. And then I've heard that they might do a Mario Odyssey 2 as well.
I don't know.
Or maybe another Mario Galaxy.
If they do another Mario Galaxy, I'm going to hate it.
Yeah. You don't like them?
I liked the first one. I never got around to the second one. I just thought, like, when they get a new Mario gimmick, they fucking stick with it for years, and I don't like it.
Like, I didn't really, for the longest time, I kind of hated, like, the handheld Super Mario Bros. Games because it was just, like, the same shit over and over again.
Yeah.
But on a newer platform.
I think the last good Mario game they made was the one on the DS where you controlled Mario and Luigi.
Mario and Luigi's. Where they're in Bowser's stomach and shit. Yeah.
That's like the last innovative since Odyssey.
Yeah, Odyssey
that came
was
out.
The big innovator because you could fucking throw your hat and
you can be a Goomba
tree and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what was I going with this? I don't remember. Let's just move on. Like I said, I already said that one. Friday the 13th coming to 4K this year.
Yeah.
There's a rumor going around that Scream is getting a 25th anniversary 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray release in October, which I'd probably die if that did happen.
I mean, it's probably going to happen.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and say this next piece of news because it is Scream related. Scream 2022 is picture locked and scored.
Well, it has the music. It's picture locked and edited. So all we're waiting now is to see if they're going to release it early or they're actually going to stick to the January 2022 release date.
Yeah.
If they, I wish so bad they would say fuck it and just move it up to December. Stick to the original Scream. Scream 1 came out around Christmas.
2011.
1996.
Oh, I thought you were saying Scream 4. Oh, Scream 4 came out in 2011. I was like, you know, they could do like a 10-year jump thing or whatever.
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the original. The original came out around Christmas.
Yeah, because we don't know if this is going to be like a sequel.
Well, the rumor has it it's a movie within a movie, so yeah, it's going to be like New Nightmare, yeah. Which I wouldn't hate.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
I wouldn't hate it.
It'd be interesting for sure. But yeah. Honestly, I personally think it's probably going to be a sequel.
Yeah, probably.
Yep.
Or they could do both.
Yeah.
Make it a movie within a movie type thing and then like have a sequel made.
Do you think that this one will be the last one?
You know,
it's too early to say, but...
I don't know.
Yeah. It's too early to say. Obviously, we'd have to see it, but I don't know. Honestly, like, unless they just kill off like the main three characters, they're probably just...
If Nev Campbell doesn't die in this one, I'm going to be a little upset, I think.
I think that they should kill Gale or Dewey or something like that.
Well, they
and then if they want to do
they,
a part
they sure
six,
tried to kill Gale in 4, but we saw how that fucking turned out.
Like, if they want to do a part 6, I mean, fine. I kind of like even franchises
if
more than
the
odd
new
ones.
Characters, like the children, because I know there are pretty young faces in this one. If it does well, I just say fuck the original cast. Just keep the newer faces,
which is honestly
coming.
What they should have done with like Kirby and shit, because we never saw.
If Kirby's not in Scream 5, I'm gonna be pissed.
Yeah, if they just say, "Oh, she died," really?
Because Wes Craven even said like there's a possibility he would bring her back because we never saw her die.
Yeah, because she just got stabbed and laid down.
Yeah, like,
and that was about it.
Yeah, all right, let's move on to the next one because we are like 15 minutes in and we're close to being done. With the news. Elijah Wood signed on to act in the Toxic Avenger remake.
Sweet.
Yeah, he does a lot of horror stuff nowadays.
Yeah, I think...
writing, directing, acting, you know, he's great.
Yeah, I think I saw like an interview with him, and I do believe he said that horror was his favorite genre.
Oh, he loves horror movies.
And he actually, when they were talking about before the lawsuit, he actually submitted a script for a potential movie adaptation. He did it with Friday the 13th and Nightmare on Elm Street, I believe.
Nice.
So, like, he's a smart guy.
Yeah, he's got a great mind. I mean, Come to Daddy was a pretty good movie.
Yeah, and, like, he fucking... I think a lot of the reason why he keeps working in horror is because it's not as hectic of an atmosphere, like, because a lot of, like, Hollywood movies, you have to deal with, like, studios and shit. And they just change shit on the fly depending on how they feel about it.
Elijah Wood is very much an indie movie.
Yeah, he's actually said some pretty steep shit about Hollywood. He says they have a pedophilia problem over there.
He doesn't like it. I don't blame him.
So, I don't blame him either. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if half the motherfuckers are pedophiles.
I mean, shit, I don't know. We'll have to... It'll come out someday, but I have two pieces of news here that I'm going to read some stuff about. This one, a mental health and horror documentary is coming out this year, I believe. And here it says, mental health and horror is being billed as a feature-length documentary about the positive impacts and cathartic releases that horror can have on those living with mental illnesses. It's going to have interviews featuring horror actors, horror directors, and writers from other projects, which I'm actually pretty glad this is being made. You know, I think it's pretty obvious for all of us horror fans that some of us have some mental problems.
Yeah,
and horror can be a little bit of a release from all that.
Yeah, and then you got like the people that are all like, you know, people who watch horror movies become violent and crazy and shit.
Yeah, that's not the case. For probably most people, they just watch it as a means of relaxation or escape from whatever is going on.
Yeah, I mean,
you know?
you find some horror films out there that are much smarter than they look on the surface.
Yeah.
And there's multiple reasons that you can back up for being a fan of horror. It's not just, oh, we like seeing people get killed.
Yeah.
Or harmed or scared or whatever. And it's like, it's not that. In a way, like I said on our big crossover episode with Riley and Kirby from like almost a year ago.
Almost one whole year.
Yeah. For me, like watching horror is kind of like a coping mechanism.
Boo.
It allows me to...
Life fucking sucks, man.
Yeah, it allows me to see what these people are doing in these movies and see how they overcome obstacles.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that not every scenario in a horror movie is realistic, but right. It's still a little piece of information.
Right. Peace of mind.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So right now, the Friday the 13th box set from Scream Factory is $99.99. It's gone under the $100 mark.
I paid like $180.
Yep, you sure did. I might end up scooping this while it's this low. You know, I don't know.
I mean, I had a feeling they were going to drop the price eventually.
Yeah. But yeah, it's low. I mean, low, relatively, you know. It's heavily discounted.
Yeah, it's cheaper than it was before, almost half off.
Yep. Another piece of Friday the 13th news. As you may know, Higgins Haven, the film set or the filming location for Friday the 13th Part 3, that house burned down.
Yeah.
They are rebuilding that location.
Yep.
So that is really exciting piece of news. Hopefully once that's done, they'll start doing tours and showings of Part 3 there.
Yeah, because like that house wasn't just used to film Friday the 13th Part 3.
Well, no. A lot of movie houses aren't just used for one movie.
I remember seeing like an article. It's like, oh, all the films that use this house from Friday the Part 3 or whatever. And there's actually a couple of the other slasher movies that use that same location, too. And some of them, like, I saw, like, reviews on IMDb where, like, this dude was like, oh, it's the same set that they used, or not set, but location that they used for Friday the 13th Part 3, and once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Mm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I can't remember which movie that it was that used the same one, but...
There's probably quite a few.
Yeah.
There's this Netflix movie coming called The Watcher, and it's based on the real events of a stalker called The Watcher. He would send this family like really fucked up letters, and it forced them to move out.
Damn.
So Netflix, their producers got the movie rights, and now they are making a movie about it.
Yeah, I don't know how I would feel if something like that happened. It'd be pretty fucked.
Well, yeah, it's pretty fucked. It's fucked up, man.
Yep.
But last piece of news. So this week at E3, which was obviously a digital-only event because of COVID still, we finally got our first look at the new Rainbow Six game, Rainbow Six Extraction, formerly known as Rainbow Six Quarantine. Well, I just want to preface this with, we got a lot of new games coming out that got unveiled this week that are Left 4 Dead clones.
Hmm.
The gameplay is straight up Left 4 Dead, but with different characters and situations.
Yeah.
Rainbow Six Extraction is no exception. Bloody Disgusting quote says it's GTFO gameplay, get the fuck out gameplay. Meaning it's Left 4 Dead style. Because in Left 4 Dead, you'd go into an area, you'd load up on ammo and weapons,
yep.
And you'd push through to another room.
Right.
Get the fuck out. So with Rainbow Six Extraction, you are fighting aliens, which is the same aliens from... They did an event in Rainbow Six Siege years ago called... what was it called? It was like a zombie-style thing, but with aliens. Outbreak. The Outbreak event.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the inspiration for this game down the road. And I believe it's the same race of aliens and stuff. But I'm going to read the Bloody Disgusting article verbatim just to give a little bit of more explanation. After giving fans a taste earlier this week, Ubisoft has revealed Rainbow Six Extraction, their co-op tactical first-person shooter that's set to hit PlayStation 5, PS4, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S, PC, and Stadia on September 16th. Extraction has pledged to assemble their team from the 18 operators from Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege to launch incursions into containment zones that have been invaded by a lethal alien threat known as the Archaeans. Each operator has a specific set of weapons, gadgets, and abilities to master, allowing for limitless customizability. You can customize all the shit. It's a really hard word to say for some reason. I know the word, I promise. Set in four regions across the U.S., containment zones are infested by the Archaeans. Use your operator's abilities to overcome the situation to accomplish your objectives and extract from the containment zone. The 12 uniquely designed maps feature procedurally generated challenges, enemies, infestation, and increasing difficulty. The deeper you go, the greater the danger, but so are the rewards. For existing owners of Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Siege, purchasing Extraction will instantly unlock the entire roster of 18 operators for you at launch. Which I'm okay with. Like, I grinded my ass off for all those fucking characters.
Yeah.
I've spent years playing Rainbow Six Siege. And if they're going to make me unlock the same fucking operators again for a game I've been playing for 3 years, it's kind of bullshit.
Yeah. I thought that the, like, Rainbow Six Siege Quarantine, I thought it was going to be a DLC.
No, it's a whole other game.
Oh.
I thought I've explained that before, but I guess not.
I thought, like, last year, or not last year, but the year before, when they unveiled that they were making the game, I thought that they were like, it's going to be a DLC.
No, it's a new game based in the world of Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh.
Which, I'm probably going to buy it.
I haven't really kept up with Rainbow Six Siege.
Dude,
in like
Rainbow
over
Six
a
Siege
year.
Is getting crossplay now.
Yeah.
Which
is what everybody's doing.
Yeah, which is cool. I'm cool with it. Dude, I haven't touched Siege in so long. It we probably, used to play every fucking night, man.
You know, the fact that there's crossplay and whatnot, it probably makes matchmaking a lot quicker.
Probably.
Because there's more people.
I mean, well, in Siege, we never waited that long anyway
but
for
with
games.
Like Dead by Daylight and all that shit.
Yeah.
Which I believe.
Well, in Dead by Daylight's case, it's made it even longer.
Oh, yeah. Did they fix it?
I haven't played Dead by Daylight
in
like 2 months.
We need to play Dead by Daylight soon just to see.
I need to get PS Plus again.
Oh.
But yeah, that's all the news this week. Hope we didn't take up too much of your time. You know.
Somebody likes that.
Yeah, you know. But we're going to go ahead and go to the movie of the week, which is Hatchet 3, continuing our franchise run through of the Hatchet series.
Correct.
So, up first, I just want to say it. Victor Crowley looks like shit in this movie.
I mean,
the
like
makeup, the makeup is so drastically different from the first two.
It looks rubbery.
It looks so bad.
Not
that I'm saying it's a bad movie. I just think Victor Crowley does not look as good as he should.
I don't know, like, all of the sequels, like, they couldn't get, like, because I thought that Victor Crowley looked awesome in the first one.
Yeah, he looked great.
And then, like,
because John Carbeekler did it.
Yeah, you get, like, all the other ones, and they're just not as good.
Yeah. Also, this entry, Adam Green did not direct, B.J. McConnell did.
Yep. Adam Green wrote it.
It was still a good movie, though.
Yeah.
Directorially wise.
Like, honestly, I can't.
It's not that much different.
Yeah, like, I can't say that it's the best directed one, but it's the best movie, in my opinion. Yeah.
And we have the same DP, the same producer, and the same writer, and mostly the same principal cast. Kane Hodder came back. Daniel Harris came back.
We get, what's the one guy's name who's in, like, every movie but plays a different character?
Oh, Perry Shin?
Yeah, he's back. He plays, like, a paramedic.
Well,
we do get some new additions, too.
Yeah. And with that, let's go ahead and roll to the movie. Movie opens up. We're just going to run through it real quick and then talk about how we felt about it and stuff. Kind of like last week.
Yeah.
So the film picks up right at the end of Hatchet 2 with Mary Beth shooting the fuck out of Victor Crowley in the face. I just want to say she shot him with a pump action shotgun and she's still pulling the trigger in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
Honey, that's not how that works. You gotta rack that shit again.
Yeah.
You want to double tap him. So yeah, she blows his head off. His head is a jello-y mess.
Yeah, it's
looks
real
like,
mangled.
Looks like Jell-O and fucking Twizzlers.
Yep, that's what they used.
And you know, she leaves. She's going to leave, but while she's leaving, we get an Undertaker impression, or the Michael Myers impression, if you want to say
the sit up.
Yeah, dude. Kane did that so well.
It was cool too because it was quiet. You couldn't hear
I forgot all about the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, because she has like this moment where she's like down on her knees, like
she's like
breathing,
catching her breath.
But like it's like this really weird, like all the sound goes out and you just hear her breathing. Yeah. And then as soon as she gets up, he sits up.
Yeah.
In the background.
With
and we're like,
that camera movement was cool too, because like as soon as she gets up, the camera starts panning up, and out of the corner of the frame, the bottom corner, you just see him sit up.
You just see him sit up.
Which was dope. I really, really fucking liked that. So she's walking away and Victor Crowley grabs her. She shoves her hand down his like the face hole.
Well, she starts up a chainsaw because she hears shit going
on. That's after that. He comes up behind her and grabs her, and then
No, I'm pretty sure she hears a noise. She picks up a gun. It doesn't have any ammo.
Yeah, it's a double barrel shotgun.
And
she throws
it
down.
But then she sees the chainsaw, so she tries to start
it. Oh, yeah, she tries to rev it up. Yeah.
And then she gets it, but Victor Crowley picks her up.
That's right, yeah. And she puts her arm in his fucking face.
Yeah, and he's making all these, like, because he has no face, pretty much. You just hear his throat going off.
Dude, like, that was pretty cool. And then he gets bisected. His whole body gets cut in half.
He falls on the chainsaw. It's a big-ass chainsaw.
Yeah. Which is dope. So, after this, she grabs his scalp.
Yep.
And a gun.
Yep.
And starts walking home. Well, to the police station. So, she's in the city. She's back in the city. She's covered in blood.
Well, we got to talk about, I know we're trying to briefly run through it, but we got to talk about Gore, the opening credits.
Oh, dude.
Gore Hail Genocide. That's
this
the song.
This is still Dave Brocky in Gore, right?
Yep. He didn't die until 2014.
Yeah,
so this came out a year before that.
Yeah.
And this was on their most recent album around the time this came out, which
2013.
I thought it was 2013.
It's 2013.
Yeah. Let me find out.
Actually, we are 5 days after the release of this movie, so this is officially
8 years old.
8 years old.
Yep.
This year.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We timed that kind of good.
I know.
But yeah, it's off like their, I can't remember what the album's called, but it's the one that came out in 2010.
It's kind of ironic. We were talking this morning about going to see Gore on their tour this year.
Yeah, they're coming to the Vogue here in Indianapolis in November to celebrate the 30th anniversary of Scum Dogs of the Universe.
That's what Slaughterama's on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I told you that the 30th anniversary was this year, but it's actually last year, so they're making up for it this year.
Which is dope. I mean, I'll go see Gore, dude. I like Gore.
Yeah, they're playing with I Hate God, Napalm Death, and then Madball's going to be in some dates. They're not coming here, which is
You said
sad.
I wouldn't really like I Hate God, but like I've heard of Napalm Death. I haven't really listened to him.
Yeah.
But I mean, like I said earlier, I'd see anybody once.
Yeah.
Like,
it's definitely going to be an experience.
Is it going to be one of those shows where like they're going to be crowd killing and shit?
If Madball was going, but they're not going. So it's probably just going to be normal mosh pits.
I probably won't get in the pit anyway, but like
push pits as they call them.
If it's a push pit, I'll probably join. But like, I ain't trying to get a black eye in the fucking pit.
But with fucking Gore, depending on how close to the stage we are, we're gonna get covered in fake blood. Probably.
I'm okay with that.
It's probably gonna happen.
They used to throw fake guts on people.
Yeah, like they have like they're like these like powder bombs that they shoot off in the air, and it like they explode and it's like powder that like falls on everybody.
Oh, well.
So like if we do go see them, we probably have to wear some clothes we don't care about.
Right. Have you seen Gore before?
No. It's been something I've wanted to do for a long time.
They're like a gimmick band, but like it works. Yeah, they're like aliens, aren't they?
Yeah, they wear like these monster alien suits, and like all their songs and album and lyrical content is like about killing humans and
except for the Road Behind. Like there is the Road Behind, and like Dave Brocky went off about some shit. Like,
yeah, the fact that like some bands don't tell you, like some bands like touring, but other ones like they're just like, dude, touring is a job.
I haven't
really
heard Gore. I haven't seen Gore tour in a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's David Brocky died, like they started playing like festivals and shit more opposed to like actual
and that's
touring.
More money, I believe.
Yeah, because
once you do, if you do festivals, if you do like one stationary festival, you're making like three times what you make
and
on
some
tour.
Festivals tour, but I don't really consider them festivals.
Well, some tour
anymore.
Dates are at festivals too, if that makes sense.
Well, because like they called Rockstar or not Rockstar, but Mayhem Fest. They called it Mayhem Festival, but it was a tour.
Well, like, Warped Tour was a festival, yeah, but it was a touring festival.
So, I don't know, maybe that's just like a more marketable name or something.
Yeah.
Other than Mayhem Tour.
Yeah.
But Warped Tour, that's like literally in their name.
Like, that was a festival, but it toured around the United States.
Yeah, and like, Warped Tour was around since the 90s.
Yeah, it just ended, like, five years ago.
Their last one was in 2017.
Yep. No, rumor has it they're trying to bring it back, but I don't know if that's true or not.
Well, they do. So, like, the reason why they decided to end it is because the demographic is changing.
Yeah.
People are starting to prefer, like, rap and hip-hop. There's not as much.
Well, there's been rap and hip-hop artists at Warped Tour before. Yeah, like, Waka Flocka Flame played Warped Tour.
Insane Clown Posse did Warped Tour before.
Tech N9ne's done Warped Tour, I think.
But, like, people prefer... So, like, if they were to do Warped Tour, they'd have to shovel out some money to get bigger names and shit.
They like, I remember Ice Nine Kills in their early days did Warped Tour.
Like, the thing is, like, their headliners used to be bands like Suicide Silence and shit like that.
Yeah.
But if they were to do that, because they were noticing, like, their ticket sales every year was getting worse and worse.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd have to get, like, a big headliner. So they'd have to really shovel out some money to get somebody that's bigger and appeals to a larger audience.
Dude, I know you're not a fan of, like, hard rock, but, like, SiriusXM Octane, if they did a festival with all those guys that play on there, I'd spend the money to go see them.
Yeah, I've only went to Warped Tour once.
Did you get any tour water?
No, I
didn't. You know, like, all the bands, how they drink Monster on stage all day? Yeah. That's not Monster. It's cans of water that Monster sponsors. So all these kids are like, yeah, they're drinking Monster all fucking day, bro. And these kids are going home dehydrated and throwing up. Yeah. And they're drinking water. They're being they're hydrating themselves.
Yeah, I've been to Mayhem Fest twice and Warped Tour once. I did not have a good time at Warped Tour.
Oh, yeah?
There was just none of the bands that went that year I really cared much for. So that's fair. I just went to go.
I want to do a festival just once while I'm young still.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah. I mean, there's... All right. There's ways to have fun at them, even if you don't
for sure.
Know anybody that's playing. Yeah.
All right, let's get back to it. So she goes to the police station after the opening credits, which is gore. Fuck, my keys just fell. It's okay. So she goes to the police station, and everyone's like freaking the fuck. She's like, she's got a gun!
Yep.
And a scalp!
Which I don't... I would have just went home and showered. It's just, I would have been like, all right, I got to figure out.
Listen, I don't think that was on her list of priorities at the time.
Yeah, I mean, she was traumatized.
Yeah, straight up. For the last 2 days, everybody she's like brought in there has died, bro.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the sheriff locks her up and she's like explaining to him what happened and all that shit. The sheriff doesn't fucking believe her. She's like, yeah. Like,
he's like, bitch, you came in here carrying a piece of somebody's head and a gun, and you're going to tell me that fucking Victor Crowley's killing people and shit? Because they just believe Victor Crowley's like an urban legend.
Yeah.
They don't think he's actually real. Which is funny, because that's what everybody in these movies say, and then they go and they get their shit pushed in.
Yeah.
So,
The sheriff sends people out there to confirm the bodies she was telling them about, and they find them. They find a lot of them. The guy's we're going to need paramedics to bag and tag all this stuff. And so Amanda Fowler, who is the sheriff's ex-wife, who's wonderfully played by Carolyn Williams, who you guys may know as Stretch from Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, arguably one of the greatest horror movies ever made.
Yeah, and I honestly think this might make some people mad. I don't know. I think that Stretch might be the best final girl in Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like, out of the entire franchise.
Yeah.
Because I think that she did.
Minus Sally Hardesty.
Well, like, yeah, I mean, like, she's classic in a lot of
people. Well, Sally Hardesty predates the final girl by, like, 12 years.
A lot of people say she's the very first one.
Well, not 12 years, like, four years. But, like, you know.
Yeah.
The final girl motif was not established until the mid-80s.
Yeah. For me, though, what I like out of final girls is ones who are capable.
Yeah.
I don't, like, it's fine. Like, if the movie's okay, like, I don't mind the ones that just run around and scream. But I like the ones that actually stick up and stand up for themselves. And
yeah.
fight the big monster, the big guy with the knife or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why I think that Stretch is probably the best one.
Yeah. But Amanda is not Stretch. Let's just say that right now.
She's a crazy journalist.
Yeah. She's a journalist who has been researching Victor Crowley for, I guess, a long time and has made like a laughingstock of herself.
Yep. Everybody's like, bitch, you crazy.
And so she wants to talk to Mary Beth about what happened, and she does. And Amanda believes her, you know. And so Amanda wants to take Mary Beth to Honey Island Swamp so she can end the curse, because Amanda says if she gives Victor Crowley his dad's ashes, this whole thing is over.
Correct.
And nobody believes her.
Yep.
Mary Beth's like, I'm not fucking going back there again. You cannot make me. But she does.
Yep, because basically what happens is they get like a radio call, and like it's like people getting fucked up by Victor Crowley. Like,
yeah,
he's tearing through like all these cops.
Everybody.
And paramedics. And so like they were all like, all right, we need every cop on the scene. So all the cops are rushing out.
Yeah.
And what's the cop's name that is with them the whole time?
Cops? The black guy?
Yeah.
His name in the movie is Deputy Winslow.
Yeah, so like Deputy Winslow's like, nah, I ain't getting my ass fired for this shit.
Yeah, which, you know, fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
But they convince him.
Like, also, I forgot to mention, Perry Shin does come back and they're bagging and tagging corpses. And the guy who's like doing autopsies, like, this one kind of looks like you. And he's like, what, because I'm Asian? We all look alike because we're Asian? He's like, no, he actually looks like you. And he's like, fuck you.
Yeah. Which is kind of, you know, a lot of people think that all Asians look the same.
They do not.
But look, the thing is a lot of white people look the same too. So, you know,
suburban white males do look the same. I will say that. Like, rich, middle to upper class white boys look the same.
Oh, yeah.
Because they dress the same.
Yeah. Everybody conforms to a certain group.
Yeah.
So
I just happen to conform to people who wear horror t-shirts.
Yep.
So they're going to Honey Island Swamp, but first they have to go get ashes from Thomas Crowley's uncle, which would make that Mary Beth's great uncle. And he's racist.
Yeah.
He's very racist.
Well, didn't they say that, like, Thomas Crowley, they said he was, like, over 100 years old, right?
No.
Because, like, Mary Beth, she's, like, in the cell. Because, like, Amanda brings up how they need to bring Thomas Crowley to Victor Crowley.
He's been dead for a long time, is what she says.
She's like, hasn't he been dead for, like, 300 fucking years?
No, I think she says, like, 20 or some shit. But
It's long enough of a time to be considered an urban legend, basically.
Yeah.
So probably a long
time. But, like, I think since she's fucking met Victor Crowley twice, I think it's safe to say that legend exists.
Yeah.
But so this is the part at Honey Island Swamp. They find Victor Crowley's body, and he's brought to Randy. And while he's distracted, Victor, he comes back together.
Yeah. Because he's a repeater spirit or something like that.
Yeah, he comes back to the way he was when he died at the every day.
Yeah.
So every time the sun rises, he comes back. He fucking blows Randy's head up with a defibrillator.
Which is awesome.
That's probably number two favorite kill of the movie.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I just watched this shit today.
Yeah, I did too.
I'm trying to think now, like, which one was my favorite.
I really, really liked Derek Mears' kill, where he predator kills him. He reaches in and pulls out his spine and his skull.
Yeah, his skull comes out with it, which is fucking
hilarious.
That
was pretty dope. I liked that a lot. So Deputy Hamilton investigates, and he gets killed too. His head gets hacked in half with, a hatchet or like a bone saw.
I think it was the hatchet, because they put the bandsaw and the hatchet on the boat.
Yeah.
So he must have picked that hatchet
and
up.
And then this is the part where they kill the whole squad.
Yep.
Victor kills.
All these filler characters, we just, you know, we need to get the kill count up.
Yep. Victor goes back to his house. The medical team radios for Deputy Winslow and all that stuff. Here comes the swamp team. Or the swamp team? SWAT team.
Yeah.
So, back at the swamp, SWAT team comes in. Derek Mears, he's armed and ready to fucking go.
He's like the head of the SWAT.
Yeah.
Which is accurate.
Derek Mears, I don't know if y'all have met him. I met him in an elevator one time. I think I've told that story. It was just after his workout. The blood was flowing. His muscles were fucking jacked. He's pretty fucking scary.
Yeah.
He's taller than me. I'm 6'1". I mean, that's pretty average nowadays.
He looks like someone who doesn't fuck around about snack time.
He does not fuck around about anything.
Yeah.
Especially this character.
I don't know. I've heard he's a very nice guy.
No, he was. Dude, he was a fucking sweetheart.
So maybe he does
fuck around. I even offered him
a
donut.
Yeah.
He respectfully declined.
He's like, look, man, I'm fit. I don't need none of that fat shit.
Yeah, I don't need none of that sugar, bro. I don't need it. But so there's five people in the SWAT team. And so they're here and they go to the house. And one of the deputies is like, this is a bad idea. We shouldn't be going here.
Yeah, he has a fucking bazooka.
He does have a fucking bazooka, bro.
I was like, how'd you get that over here?
He's got a fucking AT-4 bazooka, dude.
Yeah.
So, and they mentioned that earlier. He's like, one of the SWAT members is like, where'd you get that? He goes, I'm an NRA member. Like, that just excludes you from the law? Like, that is a fucking military, like an actual military weapon.
Yeah, like, they don't sell that shit to the public.
No. Like, that motherfucker stole that shit.
Yeah, he had to have.
Yeah. So, they go to the house, and Crowley drags Deputy Elbert, which is named after the producer of this movie, the series producer, Sarah Elbert, drags her into the cabin, kills her. He hooks another one, but they get her free. Well, they get her free, but then her fucking jaw is fucking pulled in.
Yeah, like, because Victor Crowley just... He puts his fingers in her mouth, which I was like, because he's got, like, dirt all over his fingers.
He's got sausage fingers, bro.
Yeah, I was like... I don't know. Just like the thought of like somebody sticking their fingers into my mouth just makes me want to vomit. Like even if they're clean, like I'm just like,
yeah. So Crowley ambushes the two officers, and those two are dead. They're dead.
Oh yeah.
So Hawes, played by Derek Mears, tries to go fight.
He tries to
Victor
square
Crowley. Which hey, if there's anybody who could do it, it's him. But Sergeant Brodsky, he is not.
Yeah.
So he gets his shit rocked real fast.
He gets his, like we said, he gets his spine ripped out.
Yeah, like
along
the Predator.
With his skull.
Like the Predator.
Yep.
And so at this point, he takes the opportunity to fire the rocket launcher at Victor Crowley.
But he has like a different...
He fucking... He hits his police officer buddy.
Yeah.
And he flies into the house and then it explodes.
Yeah,
that was pretty funny. I'm not gonna lie, I laughed
like
at
Victor
that.
Victor Crowley,
hard.
He gets launched, but he's fine.
Yeah, he's fine. That shit
he gets
didn't
up
hit him
like immediately after.
Yep. So when the guy, his name's Schneiderman, starts to celebrate, Victor comes over behind him and throws a piece of wood into his back,
and it's like wood with like a little flame on
yeah,
it too.
It's like
so
a little missile.
When I first saw this, I was like, oh, is he just gonna get caught on fire or something?
Yeah, no.
But now he pulls that shit out and then rips his arm off and then he fucking stomps his face into the mud.
And then he goes...
Yeah. He drowns, basically.
Yep. And so Doherty, Andrew, and the sheriff make a run for it. And before running, they manage to slow him down by shooting him a little bit. But not for long. So at this point, Amanda, Marybeth, and Winslow are at Sid Haig's house, Abbott McMullen, Victor Crowley's distant cousin. An only living relative.
And he says some not so nice
things.
He
is very, very racist.
He also says the homophobic F word, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, he says the other bad F word.
Yep. The one that's not fuck.
Yeah.
If you get what I'm
saying.
The
one we can't say.
Yeah.
And so they get the ashes. They basically steal it from him.
Yeah, he's just like a kooky, crazy old man. He's definitely lost his mind.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. And so they steal that, and back at the swamp, this one paramedic is chased, and then he falls next to the boat from the first movie, and then, you know, it's confirmed it's from the first movie because Ben is still in there.
Yeah.
And he tries to reach for him, and then Ben officially gets killed.
He gets a hatchet to the head.
And he goes, you gotta be fucking kidding me.
Yep. He did.
He's officially dead. If this were the kill count, he would be officially on the kill count.
Yep.
Also, so, I've been wondering for so long, why the fuck hasn't Dead Meat covered these movies?
I don't know.
Like, that would be prime fucking stuff.
Yeah, like, you would think, like, you know, because they do, like, fan-requested shit. You would think that would be, like, high up there.
Yeah, for sure, dude.
But I don't know. Maybe there's like copyrights or something.
James,
to it.
I know you listen to the show. I know y'all do, you know.
Maybe James hates Hatchet for some reason. I don't know.
I don't know. James probably doesn't listen to the show.
No.
If any of y'all are in contact with James A. Janisse, please just have him.
He might be the most popular person in the horror internet community.
I can agree with that.
Yeah. So there's definitely, without a doubt, he doesn't listen to this show.
I mean, he just hit 5 million subscribers on YouTube.
Yeah.
He is the biggest horror channel on YouTube.
He did Train to Busan, which I still need to watch.
Got copyright claimed. You can't watch that kill count. You can watch the movie.
Yeah, I still
movies.
Need to watch it.
I do want to cover those on the show.
Yeah, because there's a sequel. I believe
there's
it's animated,
There's technically
too.
Three.
One of them's animated.
Soul Station is a prequel.
Yeah.
Which takes place the night before Train to Busan. Train to Busan and then Train to Busan Peninsula.
Yeah. Is it, one of them's animated, right?
Yeah, Soul Station is animated.
That's what I thought.
Same director, though.
Yeah.
Because the director did, like, anime before Train to Busan.
Yeah, and, like, a lot of people, like, because Train to Busan's, like, a more modern zombie film.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, dude, it's the best one.
It's very, very social messagey, which I'm cool with. I like movies like that. But anyway, we'll talk about that later. We're almost done with this movie. So Ben is dead. That paramedic is also dead. And Victor resumes chasing the sheriff and all the other two and corners him in the water ambulance with Randy's corpse. And so the sheriff then calls the National Guard saying they're being attacked by gunmen.
Yep.
They're on the way.
Yep.
And so Victor starts to saw through the door with the gas-powered belt sander that Andrew put there earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
The sheriff's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, he's like, my bad. I put that
straight
there.
Up. So the sheriff gets fucking killed when he hears Amanda calling for him because they're there now.
Yep.
And then the lady gets killed.
He sticks his head out like a fucking idiot.
Yep. And gets it cut off. Then the chick gets killed when she grabs the gun.
Yep.
Andrew was just sitting pretty.
Yeah, he's like, fuck that, I ain't going out there.
Do you blame him, though?
No, I don't. If people want to be stupid, that bitch just saw.
Yeah.
That the deputy put his fucking head out there and it got cut off.
That was the sheriff.
Yeah, with the saw or whatever.
Yeah.
So she was like, I'm going to go for the gun. I was like, no, you should just sit tight, my guy.
So Victor, after this, goes back to his destroyed house and finds Amanda and the deputy and Mary Beth there. And Amanda forces Mary Beth to offer the ashes to him. And Victor speaks.
He just says, daddy.
He says, daddy.
Yep. But for some reason, he like goes like lunge at her, and Deputy Winslow just blasts
him. Yeah, because the man is like, don't shoot until he has the ashes.
Yeah.
He failed.
Yeah.
So he shoots him a bunch of times.
Well, he shoots him once. Victor Crowley's like, did you just shoot me?
Did you just fucking shoot me?
He like stands there for like a solid 5 seconds.
Yeah, and then he lights him up and reloads and does it again.
Yeah. And he's like, he's dead. And then, you know what happens. He got the fuck back
up. So Amanda gets killed, too. Rips her fucking head off.
Yep.
And then he throws it at Mary Beth, bro.
Yeah, it was fucking hilarious.
All I can imagine is the dodgeball. Like the ping.
Yeah, like it hits her right on her head, too. So a headbutt. And, you know, like, you've bumped heads with somebody. That shit don't feel good.
Yeah, I don't feel good. No, all I can imagine is, like, the dodgeball sound when it hits her. Ping!
Yeah.
So, Victor then knocks Mary Beth over and impales her onto a tree branch through the abdomen.
Yeah, and she fucking takes the ashes and smashes
throws it
on him on his head, and he starts to melt.
Yeah, which is a very cool effect.
Yeah, I liked it.
I do believe it's CG. There is quite a bit of CG touch-ups in this movie.
A little bit.
It didn't look bad, though.
No.
It didn't look bad at all. And so he's melting, and so Mary Beth like breaks the branch off the tree and grabs a shotgun, which is a street sweeper, which is illegal. I will say it is an illegal gun to own.
Well, the SWAT team probably had it.
Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Could have been from the last movie.
Maybe, yeah.
So she's waiting for his head. Or she's waiting for him to move again. She's like, get up, motherfucker. And then she gets impatient. She says, fuck it. And shoots him. And he explodes.
Yep.
And before he explodes, he looks like the chocolate person from SpongeBob.
He looks like that eel thing. The old eel or whatever the fuck that thing is. I don't know what it is, dude.
I can't even do it right now.
I don't know. But yeah, like, he does look like that.
Yeah, and he explodes, and the curse is broken from what we see, because there's a blue flame erupting out of Victor Crowley's body.
And so it's weird, because like they did a sequel not too long after this, and I was like, I don't know.
Fall Place. So Andrew gets saved, and then the last shot of the movie is Mary Beth gasping for air, cut to black.
Yeah, but like I was saying, like, they did Victor Crowley after this, and, like, Victor Crowley's not bad, and ultimately, you know...
I don't want you to say it, because I haven't seen the full movie. I don't remember how Victor Crowley comes back.
Yeah, I won't say it, but... I don't know, like... This would be probably the perfect ending for this, though.
Yeah, straight up. Ambiguous. Don't really know what happened.
Yeah. And
for real, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't have blamed them if this would have been the last movie.
Mm-hmm.
But they did Victor Crowley, and obviously, you know, Victor Crowley does come back. And it's not, like, a prequel or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, like, I don't know. I think that this is probably... I've said it on both Hatchet episodes, but this one probably is my favorite.
Yeah.
Even though Victor Crowley doesn't look as good as part one, and he makes bear noises, too.
Sure does, yep.
And, like, stock bear noises that you hear in movies and shit.
Yep.
And there's also more stock screams, too, because, like, there's, like, one of the sheriffs or SWAT team, like, he got killed, and you just hear, ah! And I was like, I've heard that a billion times before.
Yep. So, I like this one a lot. It's more action-packed.
Yeah.
I would say, as of in this initial trilogy, before Victor Crowley, because we're going to do a ranking next week, but just the trilogy, I'd say it's 1-3-2.
I have to go 3-1-2.
Yeah.
I like
favorite to least favorite?
Yeah. That's just me.
That's basically the same. You just switched mine.
Yeah. Like, one's very solid. And
yeah, one is a very solid movie.
Yeah, like, it does everything it needs to do. It's just kind of like a throwback to old slashers and shit.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I mean, like, but three, to me, there's just more in it for me in three.
Mm-hmm.
Because not only do you get, like, all these, like action sequences with, like, explosions and gun shootouts, but you get more kills. And there are some pretty impressive kills. I mean, like the one with Derek Mears, like you mentioned, and the defibrillator one was really cool. Mm-hmm. But you also get a pretty cool ending, too.
Yeah.
And you get likable characters in this movie. And I thought that I would say that Danielle Harris did really good in this one.
Mm-hmm.
I think she did a lot better in this one than she did in part two.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get likable characters like Amanda... Caroline Williams, and mm-hmm. Deputy Winslow is actually kind of likable because he just gets shit on this entire movie, and you're like, man, I feel bad for this guy.
You straight up do, man.
Yeah, because he just gets shit on no matter who's talking to him or who he has to deal with. I mean, he gets called the N-word by Sid Haig.
Yeah.
And he also gets called the homophobic F-word by Sid Haig.
Yep.
And, but yeah, like, and then you got Mary Beth, which she's always likable.
Yeah.
But yeah, you get tons of cool kill scenes, cool effects. I mean, like we said, Victor Crowley doesn't look his best in this one.
Yeah.
But it's still a good fucking movie, regardless. So yeah, I would give this one a 10, to be honest. What would you give it?
A 9.
9? Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. I'll start off by, you know, what I watch. I didn't really watch too much this week. The only thing I watch is wrestling, but I always watch wrestling.
What did I watch?
I did play lots of, like, I did play Apex a few times with y'all throughout this week.
Yeah.
Zach and I, the other night, we got a W, like, 5 minutes before he had to leave to go to work, which is pretty cool. And, but other than that, I mean, like, at work, I've just been working a lot, but at work, I've been listening to lots of death metal.
Mm.
Like, that's pretty much what's been in my veins as of lately. I just got the itch, like, every once in a while, you get the itch to listen to certain genres of music, and death metal is, like, my go-to when it comes to extreme metal, so. But yeah, I listen to, like, everything from Death to Suffocation to Morbid Angel to Morpheus
Descends. I like
Death. Yep, to Gutted, which Gutted's probably one of my favorites, and it sucks because they didn't get to do a whole lot, and they don't have a whole... They're more of like a cult classic band than they are like an actual mainstream one or anything like that, but they've got some pretty good fucking music. But yeah, I mean, I listen to a lot of more popular releases from the 90s, but I also listen to a lot of underrated ones too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm trying to just listen to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And not just what I know.
Yeah. Branch out a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought I would say that since I always come up short with what I watched besides when we returned and I had like 50 things.
Right. I didn't watch shit this week, man.
Yeah.
I hang out with my girlfriend a lot this week, so we don't... We in the summertime, we hang out outside while it's nice and stuff.
Yeah. We also celebrated Zach's birthday, his 23rd birthday.
Yep, on Thursday.
What, a couple of days ago?
Yep, Thursday.
Yeah, which will be even more days when we release this, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's 23 now.
Squad's getting old, man.
We had a cookout.
Yeah.
And Bailey bought him a Xenomorph NECA figure. I got him... He likes Warhammer 40K. I got him, like, the Blood Angel Hellblaster figure. It's like a real action figure.
Does he actually shoot a missile out of his cannon?
No, I think it's just a gun prop.
Aw, damn.
But the packaging looks really nice. So
yeah, it is pretty nice.
I wouldn't blame Zach for keeping it in there.
Yeah, I mean,
but he'll probably take
it out. He usually takes his figures out and poses them.
But yeah, I mean, that's really all I fucking have to say.
Yeah, I didn't watch shit. Yep. I had a rough week, but yesterday was pretty rough. As a lot of you know, since you're friends with me on Facebook, one of my cats died Thursday night.
Yep.
It was pretty rough yesterday for me, I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah, it would suck. Losing pets always do.
I mean, she wasn't that old. She was like maybe 2 months old.
Yeah.
Which is even worse, kind of, but like... She was one of my girlfriend's outdoor cats' kittens.
Yeah.
And, like, they're very inbred out there because all they do is mate with each other, really.
Yeah.
But, like, she was a good cat.
Maybe she got, like, heartworms or something.
I don't know. Jenna said she, little content warning animal death here, but, like, I mean, not really. I'm not going to describe it. But she came out of her kennel inside because she has bigger cats in her room, so she didn't want to like get pounced on or whatever. So she brought her out to feed her, and she walked out, and she played for a little bit, I guess. And then she ate. She ate a pretty big dinner, and then she passed away. She died in my girlfriend's arms.
Damn.
Yep.
It's crazy.
That's a circle of life, I suppose. I mean,
yeah.
There's nothing I could have really done about it.
Yep.
It still hurts, though. She didn't tell me until I got home from work yesterday, so.
She probably didn't want to tell you while you're at work, so you sit at work and stress all day.
Yeah. I don't blame her for doing it. It's just, it fucking sucked. First thing I hear when I get home from work.
If I got news, like if my dog passed away and they told me while I was at work, I'm sorry, I wouldn't be able to focus at all.
No, I'd be fucking devastated. I was devastated yesterday. I didn't want to fucking do anything yesterday. I got home and I buried her and I cried. I'm going to be real with y'all. I fucking bawled my eyes out.
Yeah, it's hard.
That shit sucked.
Yep.
She was a good cat.
So, yep.
Well, that about does it for this episode. We came from beneath the sea. I'm sorry we ended on kind of a sad note, but that's life sometimes. It gets sad sometimes.
You gotta talk about it.
Yeah. You know? It's healthy. It's healthy to process what happens to you. If you would like to support a charitable cause, we are doing a charity run of a t-shirt for Pride Month. Pride Month is almost over.
Yep.
Although, in our hearts, it's Pride Month all year long because we love our queer friends.
Yep.
Queer representation belongs around all year.
Yep.
Yep.
It shouldn't just be a month where everybody's like, oh, yeah, we love gay people. And then the next month they're just like, oh, whatever.
Right. So we are doing a charity t-shirt as a network as a whole. Link is going to be in the description. It supports the Trevor Project.
Yeah.
And it will get better. That's another charitable donation place we're giving to. And so, if you guys want to support, it's $20. There's a multitude of colors and sizes.
Yep.
It goes up to 5X.
Pretty much any color you could think of, they got.
Yep.
Yep.
So and styles. There's like heavyweight t-shirts, lightweight t-shirts, regular t-shirts. Pretty sure there's tank tops.
Like I just got a straight up unisex.
Yeah, I'm about to. I'm gonna get mine and my girlfriend's this week.
Yeah.
So I'm getting a purple one.
Nice. I got mine in orange. I keep forgetting to take take a picture with it.
Yeah.
Because I know that like we're trying to represent it on social media and whatnot. Yeah.
We are definitely allies over here. We came from beneath the sea.
Yeah.
We, will defend you.
Even if you don't wear it, I mean, it's supporting charity, so.
Yeah. I hope y'all wear it.
Yeah.
I think Simone bought one. I'm not sure.
I'm pretty sure he did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Simone's the homie. He actually just moved. He's moving, to mid-central Canada from Atlantic Canada. That's pretty far trip.
I believe he lived in New Brunswick.
New Brunswick, around there, yeah. New Brunswick, yeah. Nova Scotia area.
Yep, so he'll be moving to hopefully a better place.
Yep. I know his wife's a preacher, and so I think she just got a gig at a place in central Canada. Yeah. And so, yeah. If you want to join our wonderful network, you go to slashcast.net. Link is also in the description for the application and all the other wonderful shows in our network. There's about 20 of us or more. There's so many shows. I still don't know.
More than 20.
but yeah, we'll be back next week, hopefully with a full roster. Hopefully Zach's back next week. But yeah, I hope you guys have a wonderful week ahead of you, as this will be releasing on Monday. Have a wonderful week. Love each other. Be good to yourselves. And we'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
All right, bye.